If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month, with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.
What if the secret to sharper focus, better moods, and real crew resilience isn't in another training, but on your plate? In today's episode, I sit down with veteran yacht chef Polly Baptist, whose decades on board and passion for plant-based nutrition are transforming how we think about food at sea. We explore how gut health impacts your mindset, energy, and even team dynamics. Plus, practical hacks for eating better without more stress. If you've ever struggled with burnout, bad food, or that dreaded snack cupboard, this one is for you. Tune in on Yachting International Radio or your favorite podcast app and feel your body like the asset it is.
Polly, welcome to Yachting International Radio. I've been dying to have you on the show for such a long time because I know that you've got a wealth of experience. I'm going to throw it over to you to share with us how long you've been working in the industry, your position, any interesting, exciting insights about your career, and then we'll dive into the interview.
Okay, thanks, Corinne. Well, I've been yachting since, I don't really want to say, because probably half the crew these days aren't even going to have been born in that era. But yeah, in the late 80s, early 90s, I started and I've always worked as a chef on board, more likely on sailing yachts than motor yachts. So I've sailed a lot of places around the world. I've worked for incredible families. I've done more private yachting than I have done charter yachting. I started off as a charter in the charter industry and spent 8 or 9 years working in the Eastern Med, which was just phenomenal. It was just amazing going down and through into the Seychelles, back again, and then over to the Caribbean, and then started to diverse, started working with other owners who took the boats, obviously, back to the Caribbean, doing the normal milk run up to Newport and back down again. But we always were very involved in regattas. So I've raced all my life. I started racing when I was 7 in the UK with my brother. So racing has been a very strong part of my yachting career. And I actually really miss it if we get on boats that don't race. So hence, I'm not really on motor yachts as often as maybe I should be. Who knows? So that's pretty much where I've been most of my life, sailing around, doing the Pacific as well, New Zealand, Australia during COVID, which was amazing. I have to say we were very fortunate. I shouldn't complain at that period, because we did the whole of the East Coast down to Tasmania, round into Hope. You know, it was just phenomenal. So nothing's been a negative in my life in yachting. It's been an amazing experience and livelihood that I've really taken full steps to take it to the best that I could do of my abilities while I've been out at sea and cooking for people who have wanted healthy foods, which has been obviously, like you know, I'm very health conscious and I've been very fortunate with the families that I've cooked for because they've always wanted to have healthy foods on board, making sure that everyone's eating good, nutritious food and experiencing things that maybe they wouldn't do normally, you know, as a plant-based chef, I can show them some other ideas that maybe they wouldn't have had before. So yeah, it's been a colourful journey, shall we say.
Beautiful. Thank you, Polly. Curious to know, how has your food changed over the course of the years from when you first started to now and being particular?
Right. Well, this goes back years ago when I was just leaving school. I read a book called A Diet for a Healthy Planet, and it stopped me eating red meat. And I was a bit of a passionate complainer of McDonald's and things like that. So I'd hate that. So I stopped eating red meat quite early on, but was employed by a very famous pop star who was just like, oh, that's fine. As long as we can have some chicken, I'm quite happy with that, the chicken and fish. So I was like, well, there you go. So I worked for him for 8 years and I was still eating fish at that stage. But I was very health conscious. I always have been. I've been brought up in a family where you go down the garden and you pick your carrots out of the garden and you wash them and you eat them, or the spinach or whatever. So I've always had that in my life. I've always had go and get the fresh veggies or go and look for the healthy food. So I wouldn't say my food's changed radically, but I definitely came in as a chef that would cook a lot more meat and fish for clients than I do necessarily now, even though it doesn't. Being a plant-based chef will not restrict me from cooking anything. If the client wants something, I'm prepared to do it. But my portion sizes might be a little bit smaller of the animal protein rather than the vegetables. So that's probably where I've changed the most in doing that. And also, now I predominantly will do plant-based desserts as opposed to desserts using eggs and butter.
Okay.
Because I feel that I can just get as much nutrients, and the cakes are just as good, the desserts are just as good and more nutritious than they would be otherwise, in my mind. You know, everyone's different. Everyone has their own beliefs, and this is the way I've taken it. And I followed my heart and to want to be as healthy as I possibly can. So that's why I have followed this route. And, you know, some people totally disagree, and everyone has their own right and their own mind. So we're all allowed to voice what we feel is best for us.
Fantastic. Gosh, I can't wait to dive into this because you presented for our heads of departments and captains and the membership and shared so much knowledge with them that they have been so inspired and changing their lifestyle, as I am soon to be with you. But Polly, there's a lot of talk between gut and mind health connection. Can you tell us a bit more about how gut actually influences our mental health? We know that taking a can of Coke, drinking that can spike up your energy levels, but it can be very toxic to the body. And we have in the crew mess a snack cupboard that might not be consciously stocked in terms of how do we maintain our levels in a very stressful environment. So what is the research around gut and mind health?
Well, basically, when the embryo is created, there is a few things, you know, the baby is slowly being created in the mother's womb. The brain and your gut are quite early on created, and they're joined by something called the vagus nerve. And this nerve remains intact with us for the rest of our lives. So that is so important, because whatever we put into our gut can go up, well, once it's been, everything's been broken down and we're taking all the nutrients out into our colon and our liver and our kidneys, I mean, it can then speed things up to our brain. So by that, it is, yes, like you say, it is very important. So when we have a gut feeling, that isn't just something that's worded a gut feeling. The gut feeling does go to the brain. Are you positive? Are you negative? Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you desperate to go and do something, or you want to be more relaxed? All these things do get influenced by what we've eaten, what we've drunk. And like you say, you know, have a Coke, well, yes, sugar spike, right? And then you slip right down again because you've had that sugar rush. So it is really important to understand what's good for your gut, because what's good for your gut maintains the health of your brain. And that isn't just for today. And I think that's one thing a lot of people don't realize is, you know, you're all happy, you're young. I'm in my 20s. I can drink as many Cokes as I want. I can drink as much alcohol as I want. But it's actually very difficult to explain to people that what you do in your 20s and 30s is very influential for what you're like in your 50s and 60s. And if you want longevity in your health, in your life, and a healthy longevity, it's better to start backing off from, you know, the sugary drinks, the heavy alcohol, bad food, ultra food, processed foods. All these things are very influential to us, as are, and it's not only food, as are the chemicals that we use in our houses, the chemicals we use on boats, which, you know, the girls are stuck in tiny showers spraying on cleaning products. And that's just another thing that affects, you know, you might think, oh, it's all very odd, but you're actually breathing it in. Breathing it in goes down through your mouth and into your gut. It's something that people don't really think of. They think that just food's affecting us, but it's actually in the environment and many other things. So yeah, a healthy gut does mean a healthy mind. And if we don't have this diversity in our gut, by that I mean different foods coming in, day out, we don't get the health benefits that our mind needs, and our mind needs them for the duration of our life.
100%. So now that you've said that, I feel that crew actually needs some educational training. Never been a chef myself, so I'm not too sure the training, culinary training that you have gone through. But do you think, especially around yachting and building resilient teams, they have to be resilient in order to face the adversities that we do in yachting?
Yeah.
Is there something available where they can further educate themselves around nutrition and the impact of nutrition so they can better support the crew, chefs?
Well, it's interesting because even, I mean, like, this is not for chefs, but even doctors in their 7-year training get 4 hours of nutrition. And so I have, you know, I will have a doctor, my godson, who's a doctor at Harvard, rings me and goes, what can I do for this? So it's not even as though nutrition courses are available out there, but quite often they're, you know, 3 or 4 years long. So it's not as though a chef has got time. Some of us do, some of us don't. We don't have that length of time to go and be able to do all this. But what we should find is you probably can find short courses online just to give you a background or a little bit of information. But it's also if you want to do it, you know, some people are, I can't expect all chefs to go and do it because it does take out of what they're already doing themselves. You know, a lot of chefs, and myself included, we want to go and do more chef's courses because we're so empowered and so interested in what we do. So it's a matter of if I could find something online for chefs, yeah, that's like a short 3 or 4 day course, or run something myself, then I would absolutely advocate the chefs to do something like that because it is really important. We are providing food for the crew. We are providing food to the chef, for the guests, sorry. But food for the crew is actually really important because the crew are the ones that are doing the work. The crew are the ones that are, you know, getting up at all sorts of hours, doing their time on deck or doing their time in the cabins or whatever. They're all maintaining this yacht so that the guests get the best holiday, the best time on board that they possibly can. But unless the crew are fed well, nutritiously well, or they're in an environment that's positive for them and they're enjoying it and they've got, you know, the crew, like we were talking about some of the questions that we were going to go through and some of the things like what crew snacks could be available. Well, there is a far more broader, good variety of snacks that you could do. But it might mean the stew's asking the chief stew or the chef to go and get, can you go and get us extra carrots or celery or cucumbers or peppers? Mm-hmm. They need to then put in an extra little bit of effort themselves.
True.
To peel them, to wash them, to cut them up, to put them into Tupperware, to put them in the fridge. But as long as they're willing to do that, the chef will buy extra. Of course we will. You know, it's good to have this enthusiasm from extra crew, from other crew going, oh, we'd like to have some extra things in the crew fridge. Is it possible? For me, to buy another kilo of carrots or 2 kilos of carrots is nothing. Of course I would go and do that if the crew want that. It's encouraging the crew might want that. And then you can go and buy them hummus or different dips, or they might want, you know, maybe they want to make it in themselves. You know, could I come into the galley for half an hour? When is the best time? I want to make up some hummus. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, every chef's going to allow them, but a lot of chefs are pretty open-minded and willing and encouraging, because it is important to everyone to have good food on board and food that they enjoy, because the food is so important. You know, everyone's coming in, day out. They're working out on, you know, the boys on deck in that heat in the middle of summer coming in. They want to have a good, nutritious a meal, a lunch, a dinner when they come in. Or maybe they want to dive into the snack cupboard and, you know, get some raw nuts and just some things that give them a bit more nutrition rather than, I'll grab a packet of chips. Well, what's a packet of chips going to do? You get all that salt and all that fat and, yeah, you might get that high of like, oh, I'm eating some chips, but it's not going to do you any good. Mm. You need to think of things that will be doing us all better than just having something easy to snack on.
Yeah, I know when I was on board, we'd make fresh juice on the early shift and we'd also have smoothies and we'd tag team to support one another so that we can consume as much nutrition as possible in the shortest amount of time in terms of prep time, because that's a good point that you raise in terms of the prep. You as chefs are already on a time constraint. So the making homemade muesli bars for the crew on top of your work is going to be challenging. I don't know if you can recommend a provisioner or an online store that can actually deliver some healthy snack options. I know there's a couple in Australia, but I don't know. And it was something
I don't know in the Med. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to look around and research into that because I'd always make them because I'm just so fussy about it. And I've got some really easy recipes that you just throw everything into the Thermomix or the Vitamix and out it comes and put it into a pan, put it in the fridge. And if I'm making it for the crew, quite often I make it for guests as well. So it was just like, we'll double up, triple up or whatever, so that there's always stuff in the fridge or the freezers ready to go. Because I think if you do encourage the crew to have them, well, why not put it on the snack bar for the guests as well? Because the guests are they're there for this luxury holiday or they're back on their own private yacht. Of course they want to have a snack as well. Isn't it better to have something that's homemade rather than
get another packet? Plastic in this world.
So for me, I would encourage chefs to do a bit more.
Okay.
And when you are doing your prep for guests coming, we're always doing everything. You know, we do jus, we do soups, we do different sauces. We've got the ice creams going. You do have a little bit of, you know, if you're making granola, you can make a granola bar. It's not that hard. It doesn't take that much more work.
And do you notice any misconceptions about nutrition amongst
true
or chefs?
Yeah, I suppose a lot of it is going on the ketogenic or the carnivore diet. I know a lot of people, my nephew included, who's out there on a yacht now, who's just like, no, you better have meat, meat, meat. And you can't stop people. That's what they want to do. That's what they want to do. But it's actually looking further down the track. It's all very well having all this no carbs idea. But carbohydrates are very important for our bodies, a very important source of nutrients that we use throughout the day. So to knock them back, to me, seems a little bit wasteful. And yes, maybe you do want to become lean and muscle made and all the rest of it. But there's more to just eating piles and piles of meat or fish or cheese or, you know, yogurt. You have to have other nutrients as well.
Balance.
It's no use.
Yeah, you've got to be balanced because
otherwise it doesn't help you. You know, it's going to affect you. Your don't get me wrong, but your cardiovascular health later on in life is really not going to be too good if you just continue eating just constantly piles and piles of meat and piles of fish. You need to have different plants coming in, different grains coming in, and a variety. The more variety you can have, it encourages more variety in our microbiome or the good little bugs that are keeping us healthy. So by blocking them, by just having one source of food, your microbiome's going to become a little bit flat on the edges and not really very healthy. And by diversing it, and also if you do stay on these heavy carnivore diets for a long period of time, it takes your body a very long time to start accepting other foods inside, like carbohydrates. And carbohydrates, I can't stress how important they are to us. So things like that do become very difficult for a chef when somebody's just like, well, I just eat meat. And it's like, well, you're not just the only person cooking for 12 crew. So that's one thing that crew do have to actually understand, that you aren't, the chef isn't your personal chef. The chef is there for everyone. And so if they are putting out a vegetarian dish for everyone that day for lunch, you can't knock them for doing that because it's probably a very tasty dish, a tasty meal. It might not necessarily be a dish. You know, they could be putting out lots of different dishes that are all vegetarian because there's a couple of vegetarians. So they're treating everyone equally. One day is more carnivore, but today is going to be more vegetarian. But you can't, as the carnivore, knock the chef for doing that because they're introducing different foods, food groups to your body, and they're all beneficial. So as a crew member, just be grateful that you have a chef that's providing delicious food for you, I think is my motto.
Yeah, after yachting, I got really sick. I thought I was being healthy, which I was. However, what came to light, had my blood analyzed in Switzerland, was my body started developing a toxicity to the food I was consuming because I was eating the same food every day. And so it came back that I was not supposed to eat garlic, onion, bananas, almonds. Like, but they're all healthy. Why? I was having too much of it. And not
every single day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just out of habit, having the same smoothie whatever it was.
Oh, no, you have to change. Every day has to be different. You know, whether it's, you know, this is just going on what you did. Say the smoothie was banana berries, I don't know, nut butter, some milk, and I'm not sure what else you put in it. But you've got to vary it up. If it's peanut butter one day, use almond butter. If it's blueberries, use raspberries. If it's spinach, use kale, use chard. You just throw in broccoli, throw in cauliflower. You won't notice it if it's in there because it's all blended up. But all these things are really important. It's just that, yeah, you can't just eat the same thing every single day, even though it might be very convenient and very easy. And it, you know, I know a lot of the girls on yachts are always very conscious of weight. And I get it. We are far more conscious of weight than guys are. But you can't just eat the same thing. If, you know, you've experienced it yourself, you've got to have a variety. And don't think that having this variety is going to put on any more weight than it would do if you didn't. It's not. It's just helping your body maintain a healthy you.
Yeah, makes sense. Do you think crew are discriminated against, those with particular dietary requirements, because they consider it as a hassle, an inconvenience, and an extra expense, perhaps buying almond milk instead of normal milk?
I think it's changed. I think if you said to me that 10 years ago, I think absolutely people would be like, oh my God, here's one of those health nuts that come on board. Yeah. But I think it's getting a little, people are a little bit more diverse now, and crews are getting more different, you know, alternative milks on the boat, or they're getting there's a company called Almond Cow that has a machine that you can just put the almonds in and away you go, or rice or whatever milk you want to, and make it yourselves. But I think people are more accepting, way more accepting now than they would have been 10 years ago. And I think it's good that they are, because people in every walks of life are more diverse in what they're eating these days and trying out different things. And it might be a little bit more expensive, but if you can't, you're sort of taking away the cow's milk, you just bring in an almond milk, you're probably, the whole thing probably balances out in the long run. But the discrimination, I think, yes, it's still there, possibly on smaller boats, because on smaller boats, the budgets are smaller, the space to be able to keep the food stocks, that's one thing that is difficult. I mean, I remember being out in the Pacific, and it's way harder there to be stocking up and things that you can get done. Yes, you know, there's a big Carrefour in Tahiti, so of course you can go and get your almond milk, your rice milk, or whatever. But it's actually, for me, storing fresh vegetables when you just don't have the facilities on a smaller vessel, especially sailing boats, to contain everything that you want on a 2 or 3 week trip with, you know, 9 guests and 7 crew. It's really difficult. And having to fly in things, yes, is expensive. But I think the diversity of everyone's diet these days is more acceptable. But I do get it when captains and stews look at a CB and go, oh, she's vegan, when nobody else is worried about what food they eat on board. And I do understand it is difficult. I think if somebody has an actual disease, like is celiac, is lactose intolerant, or is soy intolerant, I get when you have people like that, you have to be accepting, because they actually have an illness. It's not their fault. But if you have a crew member, I'm obviously on lots of crew WhatsApp groups, of chefs WhatsApp groups and things like that. And I remember one of the girls was recently going, I can't believe it. One of the girls has gone vegan and we're halfway across the Atlantic.
Oh,
yeah. And you can't, you know, as a crew member, you can't do that to a chef. You absolutely cannot do it. We do provide what we can. And yes, we are versatile and we can provide whatever a guest wants. But in the middle of the Atlantic, you know, stop being on Instagram and seeing what somebody else is doing. Just be true to yourself and do it till the end of the crossing, and then say to the chef, I'm thinking of going vegan, or I've decided I'm going to go this way. How hard is this going to change for you for cooking if everyone else is, you know? And as a chef, it is hard, you know, if you're only cooking a standard Western diet, to have someone come in and go, well, I'm going to be vegan now, it does change the ground completely, because you do have to bring in extra stuff. But we can be, you know, or
you can adapt.
I think we should be open to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we should definitely be open.
So how can HICCP department's captains take the lead around nutrition and gut health to build a healthier team in all aspects? Or
in all aspects.
Well, my thing is, I don't think it should just be the chief stew and the captain. I really believe that chefs should be involved, because we're the ones that are providing 90% of the food or 80% of the food. The chief stew is providing the snacks, the crew mess food and stuff like that. And I think you need to get the chef involved as well, because the chef does a lot of provisioning as well. And quite often the chief stew can't. Can you go and get this for me? Can you get? So it needs to be a combination of the three of people. And discussions should be made on what you can do to provide better things in the crew mess, better food for the crew, or like I said, the diversity. So, you know, with crew food, for me, it's really important that you don't become very bored in the sense of like Monday's quiche, Tuesday's or something else, Tuesday's tacos. That it needs to be a variety. Taco Tuesday is great, but don't always make them the same tacos. Two different tacos each week. So the crew are just like, oh, wow, what do we got this week? It's got to be interesting for all the crew. So by making food interesting is making also the chef's life interesting, because it's not boring, because you're constantly changing it up. And by changing it up, you're going to be bringing in different nutritional value to the food, because you have to, because it's not just your standard Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I've got it all written out for the next month and it's all going to be the same. You're changing it up. Use different, you know, use three different cauliflowers. You can get three different colored cauliflowers. Well, three different colored cauliflowers give you three different nutrients from each cauliflower. Mm. Make a cauliflower cheese to the crew, but it's got purple, orange, and white. Yeah.
Well, instantly you've got a different, all these different nutrients coming out of it. Use the three different colored, four different colored peppers. All those little things that can be tiny, but make a massive difference. And likewise, if the chief stew does want vegetables in the crew fridge, well, get purple carrots, get yellow carrots, get orange carrots. You know, the world is our oyster on these yachts, provision-wise. We can call up provisioning agents wherever we are and we can get whatever we want. And if your budget allows you, well, introduce different colored fruits and vegetables to the crew and make sure that, you know, and if they're not being eaten, whack them into a soup and serve it to the crew, because it's quite easy. All those foods, I mean, that's what I used to do. When the food's just, you know, I noticed that half the things have been eaten 1 week. Well, it's just put it into a soup. And it's not, don't let things go to waste as well, I think is a big thing. But I think it should be a discussion of, you know, what snacks we can get that are more healthy. Well, you know, like I've said, get the raw nuts and seeds and get a variety, get some dried fruits, get a variety again and get, you know, maybe, yeah, I remember my crew, like grazzini sticks or something like that. That's just, it's not all the sugary sweet stuff.
Yeah.
I know that on sailing boats, we do have a lot of those instant noodles, which I can't stand. They do want those because it's something you can put on a pot and you go out sailing and you're eating out on deck with. Yeah. I don't particularly like those. But I have had crew members who love them. Yeah. So you can't take away everything. I think you have to be careful, but I think you have to give an option of the healthy version and the other version. And I'm sure that when some crew members see, you know, crew members eating loads of carrot sticks and hummus or carrot sticks and a beetroot dip or whatever, they'll be like, oh, I wouldn't mind some of that too. Whereas I've just grabbed a whole pile of, I don't know what, you know, nasties. So I think it's encouraging that these three heads of departments have a chat about it and have a chat as to how just slowly introduce things. It doesn't have to be overnight. And that's one thing that, you know, a lot of people sort of expect their health to change overnight. Well, health doesn't change overnight. It takes a while to change, to get better. And especially if you go down a natural route and a route that I would change rather than, you know, have a tablet and away it all goes. Even taking a tablet doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get better tomorrow. And it's like with food, it's slowly but surely you'll get more interested. And I think the big thing is that we eat so much sugar and salt in our diets that when you actually start to take a more natural route where you're not eating all these sugars and you're not eating all these salts, which are very detrimental to our health, you start to eat, you know, your carrots or your cucumbers or whatever. And then going back to eating something that is sugary or sweet, you realize how sugary and how sweet it is. And your body's like, oh no, I don't need that. I want the more natural flavors. And, you know, things like you go to Starbucks, you know, crew, when you're out ashore, you know, everyone wants to run ashore, go and get a coffee or go and get a drink or whatever. You go to Starbucks, well, the milk's half full of sugar anyway. So it's, why do these companies ashore falsify what they serve us? And I think it's really hard for people today to understand, what is healthy and what is not, because so much is like, you know, it's healthy. Well, actually, if you look at the ingredients on the packets, there's 56 words for sugar. Well, how's everyone going to know what 56 words are? You know, when you go and look at a packet or something, you don't know. So I think it just takes time. But I think the encouraging thing is that crews talk and discuss these things and to see how they can manifest a change within what's going on in the boat at that time.
I think it also starts maybe with a conversation initially with their chief stew and the captain around the eating culture on board and their mission of nutrition and what they want to achieve. And then when it comes to hiring a chef, asking those questions like,
yes,
what is your perception of nutrition? What ultimately do you want to gain from your creation of food for the crew? Is there another purpose behind it simply than just feeding them? So I think when you ask those sort of questions, you can find a chef that fits into what you're trying to achieve if it is mind, gut, health on board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's
right. I agree with you there. Totally. Yeah, it is a discussion to have. And like you're saying, when you do an employee chef, because there are far more chefs that are more aware now of things that are going on or things that can be beneficial to themselves and to their crew. So I think it is a discussion that it should be had. And I think it should be had, you know, once you've got that chef on board, halfway through their time on board, have another discussion. Can we go further?
Yeah.
Or are we going far enough?
Yeah, the transparency and the open communication, very important. So in terms of underestimated ingredient for gut health in the galley, what would you say that would be?
Well, I should list. It's a top 31. Because it goes back to things like miso, sauerkraut, just little things like that, lentils, legumes.
Yeah.
Different greens, like every different green leaf is just so important. But
miso, you can just throw into a mug of hot water and drink.
Yeah. And all the benefits of that are huge.
Yeah, okay.
So little things like that, sauerkraut, just whack it on some toast and hummus for the crew for a snack. Mm. You know, people are going to be like, oh, freaky. I mean, that's my breakfast, but it's so good for you. And it's just
little things like that. Adding
kefir, kefir yogurt or kefir drink. Adding that to the crew fridge, getting people to have it with their granola instead of just regular yogurt or regular milk.
Yeah.
Just little things like that. It doesn't have to go far, but little things like that help.
It is, in fact, so simple. Now that you describe it and show or tell us the how, it's not as complicated as we make it out to be.
No, I think it's just the fact that it's like stepping just that bit deeper. And I think, you know, we talk of leaky gut, which is something that's, I would say it's gut permeability. Leaky gut is used as a sort of layman's term and all the illnesses that come from it. And it's not just one, it's the one term doesn't just describe one thing. And if you don't look after your gut from almost day one, you know, you're born with a clean slate. Nothing's in your gut. No microbes, no nothing. Whether you're born vaginal or whether you're born C-section makes a massive difference. Whether you're breastfed or not makes a difference. So all these things matter for a child growing up and whether they have antibiotics or they don't have antibiotics. All these things. So all these things are manifesting in your gut from day dot. And if you can keep your gut as healthy as possible, then you don't have to deal with a leaky gut or a gut permeability. And gut permeability can cause anything from
eczema, asthma, celiacs,
down to the worst, you know, cancers or cardiovascular diseases and things like that. So we can maintain diversity by having miso spread on your toast in the morning. I mean, on the sea on one boat, all the crew members were having toast with miso, hummus and sauerkraut on top. And I couldn't believe that they all ate this by the time they left the boat.
Yeah.
But I would always say start with a white miso because it's less, okay. Not as strong.
Yeah.
But it's just something to start your day off, and you want your body to be happy. You want your gut to be happy first thing in the morning. Mm. And it's sort of like one of those things of excited. Turn up the tune. The taste buds will sparkle because it's very different than just cereal and milk or, I don't know, piece of toast and jam or Vegemite or whatever. It's just to try things differently. And yeah, so me, I think miso is probably one of my go-to. Have it with me wherever I am. And my sourdough starter, you know, those two little things come wherever I go sort of thing. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you, Polly. One last question for those who are so inspired by this conversation today and want to learn more or find out some of your go-to recipes. Would the best place to go would be your Instagram? Are you quite active on there?
I haven't been active because I've had a hand injury, as you know, so I haven't been very active, but I aim to be more active in the next few months because I'm out of my injury and moving on. So
yeah, I would say
you want to link up with me through my Instagram, which is Polly Baptist. Otherwise, yeah, get through there and then we can go further and I can help people if they want to go in a direction of learning more or they want to learn from me. I'm quite happy to discuss things with them. And like I said to you, I'm thinking about running a course to help people make themselves just more aware of what's around, what's available, how they can change their family. It's not an overnight course. It's not something that just happens. It's something that you build with and you grow with and you change over time. So yeah, please do get in touch.
Well, thank you for your time, Polly, and all the information that you've shared today. I'll be certainly heading to the shops and buying my means. I can get my breakfast and a lot more. I really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. Great to be there. And thanks, Corinne.
Thank you for joining me on Yachting International Radio. If this episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with someone who needs to hear it. And if you're ready to step into your next level of leadership, head to thecrewcoach.com for more resources and training. Until next time, lead with authenticity and keep raising the standard.